Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. That word stanched means stopped. The blood clotted and the bleeding stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Now notice there's no virtue in the garment, no virtue in the clothes of Christ. You hear charismatics today, you know, sending out handkerchiefs that are supposed to heal people, and all kinds of nonsense. We find here that it wasn't the clothes of Christ. It wasn't the garment of Christ that healed the woman. It was Christ himself. Because virtue didn't go from the clothes. Virtue didn't flow from the garment. The virtue flowed from Christ. Jesus said, "I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Well, we'll read on verse 47. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace." I want us, first of all, tonight to think about this woman as a nobody. A nobody. You see, in a sense, at the beginning of the passage, she is a nobody. We're told there in verse 43, "and a woman." A woman. It doesn't even give her name. In one of the other accounts of this miracle, it says a certain woman, but it doesn't even say that in Luke chapter 8. It just says a woman. So there you have this poor woman in that crowd, in that multitude. People pushing against each other, jostling and rubbing against each other. And she's just a face in the crowd. She's just, as it were, a figure, just a number. She's a nobody, in a sense. I want you to think about the condition of this nobody. The condition of this nobody. Because we're told there in verse 43 that she had an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. What a terrible condition. She had been losing blood for 12 years. She had been bleeding for 12 years. Now, whenever you read up and study human blood, it's an amazing part of the body. You know, there are so many facts and figures that I could bombard you with tonight about blood, and you'd be amazed. You know, remember that blood is a part of the body. It's not a product of the body. You know, there's tears and saliva. They're products of the body, but the blood is a part of the body, just the same as your hair or your hands are a part of your body. And you know, the blood is so important. It's the very life of the human body. The Bible tells us, in fact, in Leviticus 17, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see, the Bible's way ahead of science. You know, you get scientists today who scoff at the Bible and ridicule those who believe the Bible. But actually the Bible is light years ahead of science. But oh, the importance of the blood. And this woman, for 12 years, the blood had been flowing from her body. The blood had been leaking, as it were, seeping from her body. The blood had been leaving her body. That which was the very life of her body, that which gave her strength, it had been all those years, throughout those 12 years, it had been bleeding from her body. What a terrible condition. But I want you for a moment to remind yourself of another person who was bleeding. The Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ willingly shed his blood. And you know, his blood is so different from our blood. His blood is sinless. It's spotless. It's without blemish. As Peter put it, it's the blood of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. The one who was slain from the foundation of the world. The one who was born of the Virgin. The one who was born without the stain of original sin. His blood was shed. His blood was shed for this woman who approached him all those years ago. He died for her, and he died for us tonight gathered in this church. So as we're thinking about the issue of blood here in Luke chapter 8, let's remember the greatest issue of blood. Let's remember tonight, let's remind ourselves of the great issue of blood. The shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice her condition. Not only her condition, but her courage. I want you to notice the courage of this lady as she approaches Christ. We're told there in verse 44 that she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. You see, according to Leviticus chapter 15, this woman was not permitted to be in the synagogue, or as it was back then, the tabernacle. She wasn't allowed into the tabernacle. She wouldn't have been allowed into the temple. She wasn't able to come to the house of worship. So for 12 years, she was excluded from worship. Now, I'm sure that she would love to have been in the house of God. I'm sure she would have given anything to be able to meet together with the Jewish people and to go to the synagogue. But she wasn't permitted to do so. She was excommunicated because of her condition. Surely that reminds us tonight that we ought to be thankful that we can come to the place of worship. Are you thankful tonight that you're here? Are you thankful that God has provided this building for us to meet in? Are you thankful that you've got the health to be here? This woman didn't have the health to be in the house of God. We do have the health to be in the house of God. I wonder, are we thankful that we're able to be here tonight? But she had great courage. She had great faith because she came behind the Lord. She ventured out from her home and she came behind the Lord, and she stole up behind him, as it were, and she made her way through the crowd, and no doubt it was difficult trying to make her way through the multitude, but she made her way through. She came and she touched the hem of his garment, as it were. She touched the border of his garment. Now, why do I say that she had great faith? Well, it's simply in the fact that she touched his garment. She didn't touch him now. Here's the crux of the matter. She believed that even if she could just touch his clothes, she'd be cured. She believed, she had such great faith that she believed that she didn't even need to touch him. If she could just touch his clothes, she'd be healed. Now notice what she touched. She touched the border of his garment. It doesn't even say that she touched him. It doesn't even say that she touched his garment. It says she touched the border of his garment. What she actually touched was the tassel. You see, Jewish men, the rabbis back then, they wore their shawl, and the shawl had four tassels. And three tassels were draped down the front of the garment, but there was one tassel that went down the back of the garment. And that's what she touched. Just the border of the garment, just that tassel, just a touch. But she believed that if she could even touch just the tassel, she'd be healed. Now what faith? What a rebuke to all the unbelief around today. She was a nobody. But then I want you to notice that this lady became a somebody. You see, as far as the world was concerned, as far as that crowd was concerned that day, she was just a nobody. But to the Lord Jesus, she was a somebody. Because you notice what Jesus says in verse 46. Somebody hath touched me. Somebody hath touched me. I want you to remember tonight that you're not a nobody to Jesus. Oh, as far as the rest of the people in new buildings, maybe tonight you could be a nobody. As far as the people in the pub or people wherever they are gathered tonight, watching the athletics or whatever, big screens all over the place, no time to worship the Lord. As far as they're concerned, you're a nobody. You're just a face in the crowd. You know, whenever we go into the doctor's surgery, the dentist's surgery, really, we're just a statistic. We're just a name. We're just a number, as it were. You go into the supermarket, you're just a face in the crowd, as it were. You're just a nobody. But you know, the wonderful message of the gospel is that to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're somebody. And we're precious and we're valuable. Isn't that amazing? Sinners such as we, rebels, wretches, we're somebody. You know, this woman here, she was a somebody. To the Lord Jesus Christ, she was a precious soul that one day he would die for. I want you to notice something about this somebody and the way that she approached the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already touched on her condition and her courage. But I want you to notice here that she, her touch. Think about her touch for a moment or two. First of all, it was a deliberate touch. The Lord Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." He knew that it was a deliberate touch. He knew that somebody had deliberately touched him. Now, there were many people that day who were bumping against the Savior. They were jostling against him, rubbing shoulders with him, pushing around him. There were a lot of people who accidentally touched him that day. But there's only one person who deliberately touched him. Oh, nobody else, as it were, was reaching out to touch him. But she was reaching out to touch him. It was a deliberate touch. It wasn't an accidental touch. You know, that reminds us of so many people today, because there are so many people today who are accidentally touching Jesus, if I can put it like that. You know, there's a whole lot of people who come to church services. They come to places where the gospel is preached. They go to places where the word of God is proclaimed. But you know, it's just as if the message doesn't register, because they do nothing about it. And they just, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, they just hear the message, but it doesn't sink down in. We use that phrase about water off a duck's back. And you know, for so many people who hear the gospel, it's just like water off a duck's back. It just makes no impression upon them. It's just in one ear and out the other. That's the kind of person who accidentally touches Christ. They're bumping against him, jostling against him. They have no intention of reaching out to touch him so that their souls might be saved. So many people in Ulster tonight, they're hearing the word of God. The tracts are coming through their letterboxes. They're hearing the word of God on the radio, the TV, or even this past week, the Olympics. And thank God for the Christians who are involved in the Olympics. I was just reading of those two young lads from Coleraine, the Chambers brothers, who won the silver medal in the rowing. And before the event, this is what Richard had to say. Listen to these words. "Pray for us as Christians to honour God through the sport we do, but also that we use it as an opportunity to show the world that there's something more to life than the games." Well, thank God for people like that. Thank God for people who are standing for the Lord. There's even that young American girl, I don't know, she's only 15 or something, who won the ladies' gymnastics title. And she also testified and glorified the Lord. She said, "It is everything I thought it would be, being the Olympic champion. It definitely is an amazing feeling. And I give all the glory to God. The glory goes up to him and the blessings fall down to me. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." Well, those people, we could say, have reached out and touched the Lord. And they're taking their stand for him. But how sad it is that there's so many people who have no time for him. Yes, there are people in churches tonight, and they're not saved. Remember that Ecclesiastes tells us, "I saw the wicked dead who had come and gone from the place of the holy." Now mark those words. "I saw the wicked dead who had come and gone from the place of the holy." There's a whole lot of people in churches in Ulster tonight, and they're coming and going from the place of the holy. But the preacher said, "I saw the wicked dead." They were dead. And they were wicked. Either might have appeared outwardly to be saved. Oh, they had the shirt and tie. They had the hat. They were dressed up. For all the world, they looked like a Christian. But they were actually wicked. They spent all their life bumping against Christ, accidentally touching him. But only the deliberate touch of faith, only reaching out with the arm of faith, will save the soul. It's a deliberate action. Coming to Christ is a deliberate choice. You see, this lady in Luke chapter 8, she deliberately chose to go out that day to leave her home or wherever she was. She deliberately chose to do that, and she was deliberately setting out that day to get to Christ, and she was going to touch him by hook or by crook. And it's the same with the gospel. I don't believe in emotionalism. I don't believe in preachers manipulating the congregation. My, there's some preachers and evangelists, and boy, they're good at it. They might as well be hypnotists. For I've seen people responding in services, and you ask them, why did you respond afterward? And they haven't a clue. Not a notion. That's not salvation. It's not conversion when a person's carried away with emotion. You know, friends, I believe there's a whole lot of people in Ulster tonight, and you know, they think that they were saved at one point, but they were never saved in the first place at all. They never got the real thing. There's so many people deluded tonight. There's even people, and they're thinking, oh, well, I did become a Christian one time, but I haven't any time for it anymore. I'm a backslider, but you're more right, because sure, I believe in eternal security, and it'll be all right in the end. Tell you, one day they're going to wake up in hell. The devil has the wool pulled down over their eyes. Oh, friends, whenever we are born again, it's something deliberate. We think. We consider it. And then we go for it. She was a somebody who deliberately touched the Savior. And notice not only that it was a deliberate touch, notice that it was a delicate touch. Delicate touch. She just touched the border of the garment. The finished work. The tassels were the last part of the garment to be made, to be manufactured. It was the finished work. It was the ornament, you could say, of the garment. It was that part of the clothing that really set it off, that made it beautiful and made it attractive. The finished work. Tell me tonight, is that not the case with the gospel of Christ, that it's the finished work, that it's the finished work of Calvary that gives the gospel its beauty? And if you want to be saved tonight, and if the people in new buildings tonight in the pub and going in and out of the off license, they want to be saved, they've got to touch the finished work. You've got to get a hold of the finished work. And you lean on it and you depend on it for all your might till your dying day. As old Spurgeon used to say, he would cast aside his own righteousness. Cast aside his own righteousness and rest his all upon the finished atoning work of Christ. She started off a nobody, then she became a somebody, and then she told everybody. She told everybody, because we read in verse 46, verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. She testified before all the people. She told that crowd that day what the Lord had done for her. Now, there wasn't a pulpit there that day. They didn't organize a meeting and say, would you come into the synagogue and would you share your personal testimony in our synagogue some night? No, this was out in the open air. See, that's what I love about this testimony. It's spontaneous. You know, part of the problem in Ulster tonight, and I've nothing against testimonies in churches. I love to hear testimonies of what the Lord has done for people. But mind you, there's a lot of testimonies and it's just a freak show. It's just a big talk about all the sins that they were involved in. A true testimony glorifies Christ. A true testimony lifts him up. If you go into court to testify, if you're giving your testimony in court, you go into the court and you testify in defense of that person. You testify about the kind of person they are. You're a witness. And you say, well, that person's a good person. I know them. Any dealings I've ever had with them, they've dealt straight and up and down. They're a decent person, an upright person. Well, here's this woman, and it's just as if she's gone into a court of law, and she speaks of Christ. She testifies of Christ. And she tells what Christ has done for her soul. And now we've got to go and do the same. See, that's the reason why you're here tonight, so that you'll be reminded of what Christ has done for you, what he's done for me. And then when we hit Monday morning, we'll be ready to go out and to testify of him. We'll turn, please, to the final hymn, 317. We couldn't preach on touching the hem of the garment without this hymn. 317. She only touched the hem of his garment as to his side she stole amid the crowd that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole. 317, the first verse, and the chorus, please.